welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. I'm your host, Justin Goff. We got a great podcast for you today. All right. Hey, welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm Justin Goff. Hey, we got a great show for you today. Guess what we're doing? We're helping you to turn your city upside down. Hallelujah. Don't you know, in the book of Acts, there were men and women who turned the world upside down. So we want to help you. How can we help you? Well, we want to encourage you and strengthen you in what God's word says about you doing and accomplishing and finishing the works and getting involved in even the greater works. Acts chapter 4 says, great grace was upon them and they gave witness to the resurrection power of Jesus. That's our prayer for you. That's what we're here for today on the podcast. And I'm joined today with some very special guests. I've got with me Pastor Christina. Hey! I've got with me Pastor Bob Castello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Whoa. Let's do that one more time for Christina. We've got Christina on the podcast. Yay! We're going to have a great time with you today. Hey, so we've got a topic that we want to talk about. We want to discuss as a panel this morning. And we want to talk about fear.
Oh, yes. You mean social distance?
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, I've got a remedy for that.
Yeah, Bob's got something.
Yeah, you know, you're looking here. We're in actually three studios. This is Studio A, B, and C. And here's our dividers, our plexiglass dividers. You know, you can't go anywhere without a divider being there.
Yeah, that's right.
So now I'm safe. This is going to be right. Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Maybe it's going to be like this. I always say, is this a, now if y'all are listening to the podcast, you can't see, but we've got these bullet, I'm going to call mine a bulletproof shield.
Okay.
Or maybe it's just a spittle shield.
There is a man of faith.
right there. Hey, of course, if you want to see the behind the scenes, you need to join us on Facebook and YouTube. Grace for This City Facebook page, Grace for This City Podcast Facebook page, Grace for This City Podcast YouTube channel. Check it out right there. You can see how crazy we are behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, Bob, thank you so much. Wow, your consideration
they
for our safety.
Crazy guy down at the end of the table.
Well, so, you know, speaking of, you know, this, as silly as we are being, I mean, you know, there's some wild, outlandish, what's the word? You know, people are going to some great lengths to self-preserve because they're afraid.
Yes.
And so today we want to talk about fear. We want to encourage you to fear not ultimately, but you know, let's talk about fear. Let's see what the Bible says. And let me open here. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. And it says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." And that word, some other words that could replace that word tribulation would be, you'll have pressure, you'll have oppression, you'll have stress, anguish, adversity, even affliction, a crushing, a squashing, a squeezing, distress. Jesus said, I've told you all these things. But he said, I want you to have peace in the middle of all this. He said, in the world you will have these things, but be of good cheer. We could say, take heart. We could say, fear not, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
What do you think about that, Bob?
I believe that Jesus has overcome the world. And we're not going to succumb to fear. And you know, one of the things that we got to pay attention to in the Word of God is that it's both written in Hebrew and in Greek. Mm. And we can receive different words when we go back and study those things. Mm-hmm. We cannot rely on the English word fear.
Right, right. Well, let's jump into this today on the podcast.
You know, the Proverbs 1:7. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's a lot of people that read that, Nick, they get confused. Well, am I supposed to be scared of mm-hmm. the Lord.
Yeah, which fear is being yeah. referenced there. Yeah.
In English, you just see the word fear. But when you get in and study the Hebrew, you find out that there is more to it than just being scared. And let's see here.
That word there, when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, of course, once again, as we're saying here, you get into what the original word was actually saying. We're not saying be in terror or frightened
no.
or shaking in your boots because you are, afraid. Now, I mean, there is a reverence of the Lord that yes. is holy. It is a fearful thing in that sense of the word, that when that reverence and that holiness, when you're in His presence, you just want to get low.
Right, right.
You want to bow down at His feet because He's almighty. He's so powerful. He's so pure. He's so clean. He's full of truth. I mean, just His presence reads you like a book. And you want to be low in reverence to Him.
Well, to stand in His presence, His awesomeness, it should make us fear hell all the more.
Yeah, wow. That's good.
But He doesn't want us scared.
Right.
He wants us in awe of Him.
That's right. Well, what did He say?
In reverence.
He said, be of good cheer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christine, what do you got?
Just when you were describing, that reverence, what just came to mind, do you remember, I'm probably not going to get the disciples' names, when they were in the boat and they had pulled in the big haul of fish.
Okay.
And was it Mark? Immediately he hit his knees. And mm-hmm, he was just like, I'm not worthy. That's what just came to mind for me of, just that when he saw that power, when he saw what the Lord did, he immediately, that fear of the Lord hit him. And he was just like, I'm not worthy. Almost like, you need to get away from me. I'm not worthy mm-hmm. enough to even be around you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, when you get a hold of that, you recognize.
That's a different fear, though, than the fear of the dark.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's, I was afraid of the dark for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Part of my testimony, the Lord delivered me from fear. And even into my 20s, I couldn't even go into my own home without scrambling to get a light on. And that's a different, I've experienced the fear of the Lord, mm-hmm. that weighty presence, where the glory of the Lord is there, and you literally just want to put your nose to the carpet. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different fear.
Right.
Than, I don't even know how to explain it. Just, I've got to get a light on
yeah.
because I am afraid. I'm terrified. I'm petrified. It was an oppressive reality. Whereas the fear of the Lord is like, oh God,
I love you.
Yeah, I love you. I mean, I realize I need you. Like, I am unworthy without you. If you don't cleanse me, mm-hmm. But it's not the same fear as like the fear of dying or the fear of being overwhelmed, somebody hitting you or hurting you in some way. It's a different fear.
Well, right. They say fear has torment. That's torment comes with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that passage is perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about, because there's no torment. There's no torment in, mm-hmm. in this.
Well, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, he's talking about the other kind of fear there. This is not mm-hmm. the reverential fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's talking about that fear that is actually gripping much of the world today, and many people in our own community today are gripped with fear of this virus, fear of how they're going to make ends meet, fear of going without food, fear for their families, fear for their neighbors. There's a lot of fear in the community today.
Fear
this
of
is
dying.
The kind of fear that we wanted to bring up today.
Yeah.
I think fear of dying is one of the biggest ones. They put such a fear on everybody of just dying. They were just,
Yes.
I mean, they talked about, not being able to breathe and having to be on ventilators, and I think it completely freaked everybody out.
Oh, yeah. That reminded me of something that I had read here back in March, and I just pulled up my Facebook really quick to find this post. But it says that another medical scientific truth is that fear is not just a mental condition. Fear literally affects the lungs. It literally reduces oxygen levels in your body. It literally causes negative physical body functions, restricts the immune system, and instantly changes every disease-fighting mechanism in the physical body. And that's what I was talking about. That's the reality, the sensation, and the literal reality during those years where I was afraid. I was afraid of the dark. And I could, you know, I mean, you couldn't breathe. Obviously, my oxygen was being affected as I was scrambling to turn a light on. There was negative physical body reactions. You know what I mean? It was that.
Start sweating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just you're locked up. Mm-hmm. And paranoid really is a good word for that. I wouldn't consider myself a paranoid person. But when fear gets involved, you do things. You act a certain way. You react a certain way. You say certain things. You don't say certain things. It really begins to grip you. And in light of this whole, you know, since we've mentioned COVID and the virus, this post went on to say, this was from a man named Johnny Enlow, the moment you call something a pandemic, you probably upscale the fear by double.
Yes.
Might this be in the equation of the overall advance of the virus? Now, you know, I don't know if we'll spend much time talking about the virus, but we're going to talk about fear. And the most recent reality for the United States and many places globally is this virus. All right. Might this be in the equation of the overall advance of the virus and why it is worse geographically in some areas? Might this be why horrific lung attacks are being noted? Additionally, the biggest killer on the planet is heart failure, and a pandemic level of 17 million are forecast to die of that this year. Once again, fear and the stress it brings is a major heart effector. And I don't think there is a doctor who doesn't know this. More than not, acknowledge that stress is a primary reason for heart failure. So fear is what he's saying. Fear brings on a stress to the body, and the heart sometimes cannot handle the overload of stress that fear brought onto it.
Right.
He goes on to say, the present world climate of fear is not helping the most vulnerable. The present climate of complete economic stoppage is not helping the stress. We, as the body of Christ, need to be sources and exporters of faith, hope, and love.
Yes.
This will save many, many lives. He closes his statements, Mr. Johnny Enlow. He says, do what you can. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to talk about fear. And obviously, we'll end on a note of, hey, let's get the fear out.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Well, where did fear come in? Where did fear come into our society? When did it come in? You got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis.
Okay.
You got to go back to when Adam and Eve were in the garden. Mm-hmm. And when they disobeyed God, and we'll go back to the proverbial apple in the tree that she picked and handed it to him, and he took part of it. And they were in disobedience. They stepped out of the blessing at that point. And fear came in on them. They were afraid. They hid from God, which is pretty impressive if you could do that. But they hid from God. Fear came into that world at that time. Mm-hmm. And if we want to go biblically, we're talking over 6,000 years ago, all of this happened. Mm-hmm. And fear has developed and developed and developed over the years. Mm-hmm. Wow. It is a spirit of fear. It is a spiritual force.
Yeah. And as we've most recently seen and experienced, it's a very controlling force. Yes. Fear can be used to manipulate masses.
Right.
Ah, wow.
Well, you know, sadly, I had looked up a few things, and one of the things I run across was an article by this lady. Oh, let's see, what was her name? It's Chelsea Hayes, and she talked about fear versus emotion. And your psychologist, psychiatrist, some of your doctors and stuff say, well, fear is a natural emotion. No, it's not. It is a spirit.
It is a spirit.
Yeah.
And we have played that game for so long and heard it for so long, we just absorb that fear and say, okay, it's actually supposed to be a part of my life. Our lives are supposed to be like before the fall.
Well, did he not say fear not?
Yeah. Yeah.
A bunch.
I mean,
a whole bunch.
if fear was like a God created reality of our lives, like, hey, you know, don't suppress that quote emotion, you know, release it because I created it. Then it'd be kind of contradicting himself. He said, fear not. I believe, I didn't look this up for the podcast, but I believe the statement fear not is in the Bible. No, I researched that.
No,
how many times is it in there?
In the King James, it's only like 107 times.
Well, that's still a lot, Bob.
It's still a lot, but it is
that's
not
what I'm
in
trying
there
to say.
365 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, people have said that. Thank you for helping me here, Bob.
Yes, I
we're in this together, folks.
I had to look that up,
but it's in there 107 times.
Yeah, in the King James.
In the King James. Fear not. Okay, well, right. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Basically, fear not. Don't let the fear in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, God should only have to say something once, and we believe him.
Who said it was in there 365 times, and it's not?
Someone that was selling a book, probably.
That's fake news, folks.
About the fear as an emotion, this Chelsea wrote, think of it this way. You already know that God has given you a spirit, a soul, and a body. Within your soul includes the ability to experience the full gamut of human emotions. If fear was indeed an emotion that we are to just accept and learn to live with, then there wouldn't have been a need for Paul to inform Timothy and all of us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, not the emotion of fear. A safe deduction can be made from Scripture that fear is not an emotion. It is a spirit that God didn't give you, which makes it an evil spirit.
Mm. Wow.
We've been playing with this for years.
Mm. Yeah.
Words coming out of our mouths have prospered that spirit of fear in and around us.
Let me throw this out here, okay? I'm still so thankful that you didn't let me say, as a matter of fact, that it's in there 365 times. Hallelujah.
Score one for Bob.
Wow. Okay. In fact, I'm Googling that right now as we speak. is it possible to fear not? Is it possible to live without fear?
Yes, I believe there it is.
Yeah, okay. Jump in there, Christina.
I'll do it. Well, the scripture the Lord laid on my heart is in 2 Corinthians 10:4, and it's casting down imaginations and every high that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's what it's doing. Fear's coming in and it's trying to raise itself up against what we know in about the Lord. And I pulled up a couple of definitions. I'll read those real quick. Vain means to no end, will not succeed, no result. And then exalt is to raise high, to elevate, empower, wealth, rank, dignity as to on the throne as the chief magistrate. So basically fear... Oh, wow.
That's
our
good.
Vain imaginations would try to raise itself up in place of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of thinking, you know, you were saying you really dealt with fear. I think each one of us have in varying degrees. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about back through how the Lord helped me really deal with it. I mean, I used to have a huge problem. I had things happen to me that put that fear.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And what changed was learning who the Lord was. It's, you know, you got to study on who he is to us, who he is to you, what he's done for you. It's, you have to learn that character. And once you learn that character and you get so full of that, then that fear can't come in. Or when it tries to, you go, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. The Lord said,
you don't belong here.
This is who the Lord is. You know that one saying they have, what is it? Some people have more faith in Job's boils
than Jesus' stripes.
And I was kind of thinking of that in relation to this Corona thing. Of sometimes people have more faith in what the news has said about Corona than what Jesus has said. Mm-hmm. And definitely. Jesus says no plague will come near your dwelling.
Yes.
That's, you know what I mean? And so we have to when that lie tries to come up and raise, and that's what it is. Fear is it lies.
Right.
It lies, and it brings vain imaginations with it. You got to bring the truth of the word up and set it against it, and every time fear is going to lose out.
Mm, that's good.
Well, you know, when I was preparing for this, I sat back and I thought, okay, I need to think of some examples of when I've been in fear. Mm-hmm. And I cannot think of any.
Wow.
Now, I have been scared.
Mm, mm-hmm.
I am not a fan of snakes, whether they be venomous or not.
Neither am I.
You know, so, somebody commented the other day, they posted a picture of a copperhead they found in their yard.
Okay.
And they didn't know what it was, so they just set it free.
Oh, wow.
And they said, what kind of snake is this? They had showed it on a picture of it. Well, everyone's coming back. That is a copperhead.
Kill it.
And wow. Then someone said, do you know that's illegal to kill a snake in the state of Arkansas?
I did not know that.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Unless it's an endangering you or your property.
And
or
they
something.
Are, all of them.
And that's the way I kind of tend towards it. And I made a comment. I said, if I have a hoe or a shovel in my hand, they will never identify any of the parts. They cannot convict me on that.
The evidence will be hidden.
Years ago, I run across one outside the door where we lived, and I grabbed a shovel and I killed it. And I come in the house and I told my wife, I says, I just killed a copperhead outside. So she steps outside and she's looking. She goes, where? And I said, that little bit there and that little bit there. No, I can never think of when I have been scared. Things have scared me as a little kid, even as an adult. But that is not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about a fear that, just like Justin was saying, that just overtakes you.
Yes.
And you cannot move. You are petrified.
Yes.
But we serve a God that's delivered us from that fear.
Hey,
as he said, do not be afraid.
Speaking of snakes, actually, I think it was yesterday, Christina, you were telling me a story about the missionary family.
Yes.
And were they in?
I think Africa.
Africa.
Do you want me to share that?
Share that story, because since Bob brought up snakes.
It was like a paradigm shift in my life when I heard the story. And it was this one family, and the wife was like the evangelist. What did you say their last names were?
The Prince family.
The Princes. And she came and she shared her testimony in, I think it was the first year that they moved there. They moved into a home that hadn't been habitated for a little bit. And how many? It was like 60 or 70 snakes.
Too many.
They found in 1 year, and they were all poisonous. They were cobras. And other stuff. And in my mind, I was like, nope, Lord. I'd be like, bye-bye, I'm going home. You're going to have to find me another assignment. And she shared her testimony about how the Lord showed her to plead the blood. She would plead the blood over her family and over her children. And there was a shift in me. And I'll tell you why there was a shift in me. We were coming up on I have three boys that they were coming into the teenage years. And, you know, as when your kids are younger, it's like you can protect them a little easier. Mm. But whenever they start getting mobile, you realize you really don't have as much control as you thought you did.
Right.
And, and I remember
that
fear would try to raise up, that my kids would get out there and that something would happen and they die, you know, or they'd get hurt or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that came right at the right time. And the Lord always does that, you know, right at the right time. And I got a reality of pleading that blood. And that's what I started doing. You know, I just, if they were, you know, when they'd start driving or when they'd get a new job or if they were doing something I didn't care for and I was having a hard time getting them to see it. I'd plead that blood.
Yeah.
And, you know, you pray other things too, like, Lord, if there's people around them that they don't need to be around, let them see it and let them make the choice to get away. But I still to this day, you know, that fear tries to raise up in relation to my children or whatever, and I plead that blood.
See, that's a great story because, I mean, they knew they were called there.
Right.
But the enemy was trying to get in, yes. Okay? Yeah. I mean, literally, to kill them, okay, right. With these very poisonous snakes and a bunch of them.
Yes.
But yet they had to learn how to overcome fear.
Yes.
Which in their situation was literally trying to rob them of the call of God, trying to get them to, you know, back up off the call, drop the call, go somewhere else. But through the power of the scriptures, through the power of the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the authority that they walked in, they literally were able to live in that environment with no fear. They didn't fear the snakes. Now, it's not that they were foolish with the snakes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They had wisdom, obviously. You need to have wisdom. Okay. Yes. Cobra laying in the bed. Just don't jump in there. Right.
I mean, we're don't not a snake up. Handling church.
No. Oh, right, right, right. Yeah. Oh. And many have died doing that.
I'd be changing congregations.
And they might be, well, we're not afraid. Well, you are dumb as rocks. I mean, you have no wisdom. Okay. So, right. You know, we're not to tempt God. But they learned how to live in that environment without fear. And then, you know, obviously implement wisdom to keep the snakes out. But, this scripture came up in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. We're talking about that part of what we have received through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that new life, being born again in Him, is we've been set free. And it talks about there were people who all their lives, listen to this, were held in slavery by fear of death. Of course, you know, I think the ultimate expression of this would be death, but people don't fly in planes. They say, well, I'm afraid of flying. Well, you're actually afraid of death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Or I won't, you know, do this or do that. Well, so the ultimate is, death. That's where that torment, that's where that terror, the spirit of death carries that fear. The spirit of fear and the spirit of death work hand in hand.
Yes.
But we've been set free. See, the gospel, the reality is we can walk in a freedom from fear. Now, we're not saying don't be wise, but fear and wisdom are two different things. I tell my boys all the time, listen, we're not going to do this not because we're afraid, but because it's not wise.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't get in the habit of doing or not doing certain things because fear's telling you. No, you can be delivered from that. We want to do or not do certain things because wisdom says so.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're teaching them not to run out into the road, you're not bringing fear upon them. You are teaching them wisdom. You look both ways before you step out.
Yes. Yeah, that's wise.
Right.
Another translation here says, through fear, of course, of death, but through fear, subject to lifelong slavery.
Mm. Mm.
What translate? That was the ESV. A lot of these different translations kind of say it in a different way, but that's what fear will do. Fear becomes really a taskmaster.
Yes.
Fear will tell you what to do. You will live in bondage. And people end up not doing certain things or doing certain things because fear's telling them, controlling their life.
Yeah.
Dictating the choices that they're making, the places that they're going.
Right.
Can I throw something in there too? As a believer, once you get, when you really learn about heaven, when you learn about what happens when we leave, you realize it's not anything to fear. It's something to look forward to. And I think that can shift some stuff in relation to fear. Like, my mom passed away almost 2 years ago, and, it's amazing how when somebody passes away and goes to be with the Lord, how your reality of heaven gets even more, like you get it even more.
Oh, yeah.
And it becomes more real. And I mean, I don't want to die, but when I do, I'm going to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so when it's time, it's going to be great. And so I'm not going to have that fear of death. I'll be with the Lord. Now I'm going to use wisdom like you you gentlemen were saying.
Yeah, you have a race to run. You want to finish it.
I do,
it. Yeah.
And I sure don't want anybody having to clean up after me if I leave early. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but when I go, I'm not going to be in fear. I'm going to be running towards him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my 2 cents.
No, that's good. Bob, what you got over there?
Well, Proverbs 19:23, it says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life." Now that's the fear. That's the awe. That's the reverencing of God. When we turn to him, it tends towards life. And it goes on, and it says, "And he that hath it," this is a King James version, so "hath it," he who has it, "shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." You know, that brings a lot of comfort to me, especially if I'm being assailed by a spirit of fear around me. Mm. Now, what do we do about fear? Mm-hmm. How do we address it?
Okay.
Pastor Justin.
Well, we laid the initial foundation here of recognizing fear is a spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have not been given the spirit of fear. Now, that doesn't mean that the spirit of fear is not going to harass you. Even though it's not come from the Father above.
Right.
Who, you know, all good things, it says, come down from him. There's no shadow of turning or variance there. But fear is still going to try and plague you. Fear is a harassing, very annoying, persistent. It's a persistent cuss, as they say.
Yeah.
But so you got to realize that even though you don't want to have anything to do with fear, you're gonna have to be on the lookout. You're gonna have to be aware of where the spirit of fear is trying to manipulate you, trying to overcome you, looking for a way in. To oppress you, to control you. And now, you know, personally, as we first of all recognize that it's a spirit of fear, number two, God hasn't given it to us. So anytime, you know, there is the discerning or the presence, the reality of fear trying to grip you, you got to know that it's not from God, and you can stand against it. You can rebuke it. You can say, no, this is not from the Lord. He's not given this to me. This is not a required or a necessity in this situation. So I stand against it right now in the name of Jesus, and I take the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind right now in the name of Jesus. So we need to deal with it on that level, number one. But then number two, just practically here, and we'll see, you know, what are the practical things. But I don't play around with fear.
No.
No.
Many, many, many years ago, of course, you know, like I said, in my early 20s, there's about, I don't know, 7-8 years there where I really dealt with the spirit of fear.
Yeah.
I mean, I was tormented in various ways for a period of time until I just totally got freedom from that. But even prior to that, I was just exposed to, you know, just things that I wish I hadn't been, but yeah. Like even horror films. And, dude, I totally have nothing to do with that at all. I mean, anything that... you know, plays around with fear or handles fear in a very flippant manner. Yeah. My family, we have no tolerance for. And I remember just being in some of those situations where, you know, there was like a horror film or something playing. And man, I just hated every moment of it.
Right.
And so practically, we don't put ourselves or our children.
Yes.
We don't put our children in a situation to where fear can be put or forced on them.
Right.
I mean, that is sick.
Yeah.
And but because I was in situations, and I'm not saying anybody in particularly was trying to force that on me, but the environment or the movie or the situation or the game or whatever it was, you know, it what it was trying to do was look for a way for that spirit to have access into my life, to be a controlling factor in my life. And so, you know, practically, we just don't have anything to do with that whatsoever. We don't watch junk. We even the things that we do let our kids watch, we really monitor. We're looking, we're discerning for, is there some nefarious agenda behind this show that's trying to put fear on our children or on, you know, my wife and I? We just don't have anything to do with that. Listen, I've dealt with fear.
Yeah.
I have no desire
yeah.
to get back under that again.
Right.
So practically, we just stay away from that kind of stuff. Now, when you come up against fear, of course, I'm not looking for it, but when fear, because it's a spirit, when it tries to mess with you, we have to deal with it very quickly. Mm-hmm. We deal with it very authoritatively. You're not going to have any place. I'm not giving you any place. Remember that passage in Ephesians where it says, give no place to the devil? You can give him place.
Yeah.
And so we don't put ourselves in a situation to give him place. We don't invite fear and play around with fear. We just don't.
Yeah. That's right. You know, when Jesus, what was it, when he met with the demoniac, mm-hmm. and he had a legion of spirits within him, spirit of fear was there. And the spirit of fear even spoke out in fear, please do not cast us out. Put us into the pigs. You know, fear mm-hmm. has its own fear. Mm-hmm. And it's an ancient spirit. You know, when you think about it, it was pride was mm-hmm. the first sin.
Sure.
Second sin was fear they allowed in.
Wow. That's good, Bob.
And we've been dealing with this for centuries and centuries. And there's hopefully a lot of people that are listening to this podcast or watching on Facebook that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't know anything about church. They don't know anything about Jesus. And they're living in fear constantly. And we as the body of Christ, we need to reach out to them. We need to bring the reality of what Christ brought to us, to them,
yeah,
so they do not fear.
Well, the Bible said, we just read it, many have been in bondage their entire life.
Yes.
Because of fear.
Yeah.
It's controlling them.
Yes.
And people are using fear as a manipulator. This is what I'm saying, not to get over into, getting off track here, but this is why you got to discern the intent and the motives behind, specifically movies, all this entertainment content. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, fear is a motivator, and it can be manipulatively used against people to get them to do certain things, mm-hmm. to buy certain things, to not buy certain things, to act, to put their, some people under fear. Like what we're seeing with this pandemic, and by the way, just for the record, I believe that the virus is a real virus, but I believe that the pandemic is manufactured. I believe that this narrative of, oh my God, it's going to kill 10 million, it's not even close. So that's the manufactured portion. But what I'm saying is that fear, we saw at the beginning of this thing when people were buying semi-truck loads of toilet paper, the fear, what are you afraid of? I mean, and that fear caused irrational, like your just logic even, just flew out the window.
Kind of like a murder hornet.
Oh, Jesus, help us. So there's a scripture that says, do not fear what they fear. Listen, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And then if we want to go back to like 1 John, where we're talking specifically, how do we deal with the reality that we're facing now with the spirit of Antichrist, with just false this, false that, false this, false that? Well, you got to learn to listen to the unction from the Holy One on the inside. You've been given the spirit of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
not the spirit of fear to guide you. You have the Holy Ghost to guide you. And so in this pandemic, people have been so irrational. Like, what do you need a semi-truckload of toilet paper for? Like, where did your, rationale go?
Yeah.
What about food or water? Right. You got plenty of toilet paper.
Yeah.
The supply issues, kind of once this thing started going, there was some difficulties in getting supplies. But through this whole thing, we weren't afraid.
No.
We weren't afraid at all. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying we've had to develop a confident trust in the Lord.
Yes.
We're not going to just listen to fear.
Well, Brother Hagin used to talk about stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking on? Mm-hmm. Are you letting these things and what's coming across the media that you're hearing, what you're watching, are you thinking on this stuff? And in Philippians, chapter 4, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on those things.
Yeah,
I've used that verse several times with several people in the past week because they were reaching out and they're just feeling so much oppression from the enemy, and it's where they're thinking. They keep meditating and meditating and meditating, and that's just prospering that fear within their lives.
Well, that reminds me of Job chapter 3, where he says, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. The thing which I dreaded has happened.
Yeah.
So that just, I mean, that's exactly what you're saying there, Bob. You know, in light of the virus, okay, we're about done with this thing, right? Nation's getting back. We're realizing some of the manufactured elements of the pandemic, the fear-mongering. But, you know, the virus isn't from God. And the scripture says this, submit to God, resist the devil. And here, you know, several weeks ago, I was just encouraging people to apply the blood of Jesus, put on your armor. Of course, the Bible says, above all, the shield of faith, stand against the wiles. With the shield of faith, you'll be able to stand against the wiles or the strategy of fear and panic. He said, above all, take the shield of faith, and you'll be able to stand against sickness and disease as well. Listen, the fear element was just opening up your body. That's what we're talking about. That fear itself literally causes, when you allow that fear in, it'll you know, elevate, you know, the stress in your body, and your body will start to react and open up to things. In fact, someone told me that fear causes your pores to open up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so people walking around literally terrified were just inviting to themselves the thing that they were fearing.
Yeah.
Stop being afraid. Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Where does fear come from? It's not from God. You've been redeemed from that. Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he may sanctify the people with his own blood. Listen, that blood of Jesus has purchased your redemption.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You don't have to be afraid.
Yes.
Yes. I wanted just to add, I remember you were talking about Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin had talked about living a fasted life. And I know that probably seems like an odd thing to bring up at this moment, but a fasted life, it's not just about what you're eating and drinking. It's also what you're allowing in your eyes and in your ears.
That's right.
And yeah. I was just thinking that in a situation like this, you got to really watch what you're watching, what you're listening to, who you're in person, who you're listening to. I'm not advocating for being unkind to people, but, you know, learning to narrow down what's coming in. Because if you're watching a bunch of fear, it's going to get in you. And so that's just, you know, and also in it's Isaiah, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose eyes is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And I know I say the scripture all the time, but this is a big one for me. That's mm-hmm. a big one that's helped with the fear. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, then it's really hard to let fear in because mm-hmm. he's not the author of it. So you have your eyes the author of, you know, the one that's not, you know, putting that fear out there, and you're going to be in faith.
Sadly, one of the things, the results of the fear that is going on in the world today, they attack people over it. We, you know, I've seen so many people and post things and say, yes, people are being ugly. I don't understand what it's about. Well, that's the spirit of fear, mm-hmm. you know, and you got to realize that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
That is what we are going to attack. That is what we are coming against. It's not the person living next door to me. Mm.
That's good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, social media. I mean, if you've been on social media the last 2 months, wow. It's been a wide range,
yes,
you know, of people freaking out and I ended up kind of just stepping back because even though I am where I am, I mean, I think I should be speaking in faith, but I shouldn't be judging somebody
right
either. And so when I recognize fear, I start praying for that person. You know, I start in, you know, and I'll just love on them. I had had somebody that put a post out that said, you know, they were really struggling with fear. And so I just kind of gave them a couple scriptures and encouraged them to get off social media and just, you know, quit letting that in. And they were like, thank you. But then they turned around and they were talking about fear being a feeling or an emotion. And my next thought was, no, fear is a spirit. But I thought, nope, that would be contentious if I jumped on there, unless at the leading of the Lord, he told me to jump on there and say any more to her. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to pray for that person, pray for peace for them, pray that, you know, that they recognize where fear is trying to come in. And so it's just been interesting times for sure as a believer, navigating, because I know what I believe, but somebody down, you know, somebody that even I went to church with once might not have the same beliefs.
Right.
You know
what I mean?
And so you kind of got to watch it. I mean, you don't want to be pointing and judging, but also it's like, oh, okay, we believe different on that. I love you. I'm just going to be quiet right now.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Well, my mom used to say, you zip your lips.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not qualified to speak right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, in the last few remaining moments of the podcast, let's look at this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love.
Hallelujah.
Perfect love casts out fear. It casts it out. So we're going to pray for you today as we close the podcast that you can be delivered from fear. Listen, a touch of the Holy Ghost will set you free.
Yes.
Mm.
It goes on to say that because fear involves torment, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I was looking at in my Bible here, it's got this some study tools, and it's talking about the word fear. It's the Greek word phobos. It's where we get the English word phobia. Phobia, right? There's all kinds of phobias. Mm-hmm. Arachnophobia. I think that's the fear of spiders.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, so there's all these phobias. I mean, there's dozens of phobias, hundreds of phobias. Everybody's afraid of everything. But you can be totally free of all phobia. This is what the Bible's saying. You can be totally free of all fear. It says this, in classical Greek, the word signifies flight. Later it came to denote that which causes flight. Hence, fear, terror, dread. In the New Testament, phobos denotes both the fear of terror or denotes the fear of terror. The English word phobia transliterates the Greek word. So, again, that's where we get the, you know, this phobia. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. So, but you can be free. Now, listen, friend, if you're listening to us right now or watching, you don't have to be in bondage all your life because of fear. You can be set free today.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bob or Christina, whoever has the unction, but let's, as we close this, let's close with the prayer of deliverance, that people would be set free from fear. Man, I know what it was like for me personally.
Yeah.
Those seven, eight years fumbling through my house to get lights on, you know, kind of have this paranoia kind of terror of dark places. You know, somebody say, well, that's so childish. Well, but fear is a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I was delivered.
Yes.
The Lord set me free. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the fire of the Holy Ghost set me free. Praise God. I'm so thankful. But yet I don't tolerate it. And so, you know, I'm on my guard. Mm-hmm. I don't want fear anywhere in my life again. And so, you know, I plead the blood of Jesus. But, Bob, if you've got the unction there, maybe there's just something. Lead the listeners in a prayer right now to just receive freedom. Fear would be cast out in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's what the program's about today. We're talking about fear. And one of the things that God has provided for us, well, in 2 Peter, he says he's provided all things for life. And one of the things he's done is provided us a way to get dressed, to be clothed with humility, to get low before him, submitting to him. But he's also given us armor to wear. And I'm going to read that out of Ephesians chapter 6. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Now, we're not putting on our armor. We're not putting on earthly armor. We're putting on God's armor. "That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." One of his wiles is fear. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We got evil days going on right now, and we have for several thousand years. "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation." That helmet covers your head. It covers your mind. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We want to dress up like that. We want to take our authority over that spirit of fear right now in your life. So if you are plagued with fear right now, you can be delivered from it.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know what you got to do? You got to submit to God, and then the devil will flee. So right now, if you are plagued with it, I want you to speak out. Say, "Spirit of fear, you will no longer hold me. You are no longer Lord over me. I submit myself to the Creator God, the God who established this earth for his kingdom, for his plans, for his purposes. Spirit of fear, you are no longer going to rule over me in my life. And I submit myself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." Folks, call upon him. Call upon his name, and you will be saved.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Hey, listen, if you need any help or any assistance at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We'd love to help you, get you some resources. If you prayed that prayer with Bob and you have been delivered, that spirit of fear, let us get you some resources. Reach out to us. You can call us at 870-741-9099. And we'll get you some stuff to help you along. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Hey, this is Grace for This City Podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Until next Thursday, be blessed, my friends.